What's up, guys? Unconventional intro to the week because that's how this week's going for both of us. What's up?
No, no,
Welcome.
no. I don't like it.
Don't like it? Welcome to
No.
Ringside.
Welcome to
All right,
Ringside.
let's talk.
Do you have more pictures of your goats than yourself on your phone? Does your vacation time get spent attending goat shows? Can you have a conversation without bringing up dairy goats? Neither can we. So join us as we talk to the country's best breeders, judges, appraisers, and industry experts about all things dairy goats. We are John Kane and Danielle Caroli. Welcome to Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to Ringside. I'm John, and as always, I'm joined by the bookworm herself, Danielle Caroli.
What's going on, John?
Oh, I am still fighting this awesome RSV thing that I'm battling. Boo hoo, woe is me. So if you hear me clinking around with some lozenges, you know why. But my voice sounds not as svelte, a little bit more me, and we're killing it. I can't really complain too much because you had a fun week as well.
Oh, I certainly did. It's definitely been a week. Here's to next week, this upcoming week.
What was your week like there, Danielle?
Oh, it was. I put off part one of my wisdom teeth surgery as long as I could, recognizing that I needed to, or I will need to do it twice. So did it once and did it this week, thinking this way I would recover before Thanksgiving and the holidays. Yes, that is true. But I also conveniently scheduled it for the week and my recovery period. It was the weekend where I was watching eight does come back into heat or not. So we had to breed three.
Oh, you made that sound way worse in private conversation than out of eight, three recycled. That's not bad, Danielle.
Considering that that's the three I know of. That's also three live breeding animals. So,
Yeah.
I mean, like, the one doesn't make sense at all. The other one, I don't even know what to do with because we bred her this time, but she doesn't come into strong heat, so I'm kind of having, I don't know what to do with that one. And then the other one, I'm going to call my vet in the morning and hopefully get some hormones to maybe help her along because she just got bred today. So I'm cautiously optimistic about her. We're going to put good vibes into the world.
Shimmyshanga, 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 good vibes.
And we will see what goes on with that. But I'm going to, with that one, I'm definitely going to just see. I think I want to get some Sister Ellen. I think that's what I need. Alas.
Maybe we need to get some Brother Ellen.
Good one. Good one.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we'll see. But so my problem child recorded grade got bred to a Nubian. We'll see. Who knows? Maybe it'll be fine because I kind of did my goat math in my head. Maybe this allows me to keep a stellar Nubian in my barn in 2024. But also, I'm telling myself I really shouldn't just add another son into, like, the worst part is my gut reaction. I walked in the barn this morning. She was talking. I knew she was in heat. I was like, all right, what am I buying myself? Retail therapy. This is great. What? Let me just get a son in. Let me just bring home a son in. I don't think that's the right answer. And I'm sure.
It's always the right answer.
I am aware, but like, it's like, no, we can't do it this way. Like, we just can't add goats because you're sad. You just can't go out and buy more.
Then what is my existence?
I don't know, but that's what, at least that's what I'm telling myself right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see
yeah.
what happens in the spring.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, like my goat math, it, you know, there's goat math work in the works, but yeah, you can't buy a goat because you're sad. You can't just go and get a new one because you're sad, because it doesn't work that way. And you know it doesn't work that way, but
you could have easily borrowed one of my pointy earbuds to use on her.
I could have. Well, I mean, there was options. I just, like, at this point, it doesn't matter. She just needs to get bred. I don't really care. And honestly, besides the ears and the face, these could be the some face. Crazy stellar kids. I mean, this is what we did last year when she didn't take the first time as well, and I was excited for the kids that just never became a thing. But
yeah,
they do strength wise, they do really complement each other well if you put a bag over their heads. So I mean, who knows? This could be my way into getting white Nubians. Maybe this is like my white Nubian line. If I start, you know, if she this creates a doe kid that's white, or at least like it'll probably either be like a light or a cream color or like a golden color based on the genetics, and then with that I could kind of go white or gold in this line and make it work. I don't know, but we just have to get the doe to
take. I'm excited to have the possibility of playing in the recorder grade ring with you again. I mean, shoot, we used to have fun back in the day with...
Back in the day when my goats actually did what they were supposed to.
You know, I think Jem was like 3 back then. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a few. Yeah. No, it's been a few years.
It's probably been 5 or 4 at least. But yeah, no, that would be fun to play with the next generations of recorded grades and experimentals, and hopefully, you know, shimmy shanga, good vibes, everything took. So I too had to breed 2 goats last week and this week, and it was great. It was fun times. I was not super surprised or shocked by one. The other one, I was like, what in the world's going on? And then I watched my buck, who's a 1-year-old, mount this wide as a bridesmaid at a buffet doe, and he was hitting nothing but thigh because she's so wide and chonky. And I was like, ah. So I had to like kind of help him find the way. This is the way. And he bred her, and hopefully she doesn't recycle.
There were so many things wrong with that. Oh.
Don't come at me, folks. You know, I bite back. Okay. Long story short, good week. Bred a couple does, getting amped up for deer season that I might be able to hunt towards the end of deer season with my work schedule. And looking forward to Thanksgiving and some fun stuff we're doing for that as a entity that is called Ringside. And speaking of being a show that is called Ringside, sometimes we talk about Adkin News, and we're going to do it right now. First piece of Adkin News, renew your memberships, folks, if you can. On NG, the people are saying they have issues, but if you go to the left hand side of the screen, go down to your account, you can add it in there and check out, and it's fine. So just take a little bit extra time doing that, and yeah, make sure you renew it before the end of the year.
Exactly. And then the other bit of news, off the ADGA office released a press release, and then Gene released his own blurb about what is going on, but they have purchased servers, other related softwares, to help the process of bringing ADGA genetics in-house. But I say that's bringing ADGA genetics in-house, but it's still going to be controlled and maintained by Gene in the current future. It was just a collaborative effort and part of that cooperative agreement that has been in the works for several months now to preserve what is ADGA genetics, but also allow it to function into the future. And so I think from the sounds of it, there was a lot of good work on both sides. And it is definitely for the betterment of the ADGA genetics program. I know now that, or not like I know now, but now there is information that has been corrected because ADGA has shared the records with Gene, and there is a new test site that they're working on that'll probably actually put ADGA genetics closer from the looks of it to the real ADGA site. But for right now, it's still ADGA genetics. You can find it and play with it. And there's nothing, the test site, there's nothing different about it. It's just probably how it's going to be hosted and different things like that on the technical side of it all. So very good, positive news. It's just always great when you have everybody working towards the goal of improving and enhancing our dairy goat or registered dairy goat community. And I just think this is a really strong step in the right direction.
Absolutely. It definitely is. You know, I saw a bunch of concerned posts on the district page, cough, cough, three, and people are like, I don't like this. I don't like that ADGA's taking this over. They can't get NG right. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, calm down. Gene is still working with ADGA on this, and they gave him some hardware in order to help facilitate the merger eventually to ADGA and their own server. And in the meantime, he's going to take somebody or somebody's under his wing to help create the ADGA genetics that he wants to see in the future. Everybody knows that Gene is amazing and has done an awesome job, but he's not getting any younger. And it's eventually somebody's going to have to take it, or it's just going to disappear and then nobody's going to have it. But it just drives me nuts that people are like, ooh, ADGA's messing this up. They're fumbling the bag. It's like, no, dude, let them cook. Let them do their thing. This is amazing. This is great. I'm very appreciative to Gene and ADGA for having the foresight to be able to facilitate this before it's too late. So thank you.
Well, and besides digging someone an early grave, I also think that there were behind the scenes upgrades that didn't need to be done. Like, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, in 5 days, this website is going to be shut down because the program it was running on is no longer viable. But I do think that upgrades behind the scenes that we as the common folk would never see, never know, needed to be done. But there was expenses involved and software involved and servers that were needed, and rightly so. Gene didn't necessarily feel comfortable allocating resources to when there were, you know, there was a breakdown in communication. So
right
now these things have been, it is now allowed ADGA genetics to move into the future as well, because the steps have been made not only for the continuation of it, just in making sure that there's somebody to run it, but also in how to get it from one part of technology, of like software and programming technology, to the next step to make it as current as possible and running on the best platforms and different things like that. So all very good things.
Hey, maybe you someday ADGA will be like, oh hey, now we can upload linear appraisal scores. Wouldn't that be something? A girl can dream. I know.
Yes. The other thing that I know it's not, I realize we should mention, if you are an ADGA Plus member and you have DNA from this year that you have not used, you might want to shoot our, well, I guess you'd fill out a form, but you might want to fill out the form and submit that DNA you request, so that this way you can use those DNA kits that you've paid for. You don't necessarily need to submit the DNA right away. You can sit on the paperwork for a little bit. If you have them and you need to DNA type a few animals, submit that request so that this way you're not losing it from this year.
Good. That was very astute of you. Very good tip there for everybody that may not have done that. I guess we'll move right into our topic. And obviously, guys, it's the slow season. Show season's all but over for the majority of the country. It's slow. It's everybody's kind of getting ready for winter. You're maintaining your herd. And most likely, your farm website or social media pages like Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Today, we'll be talking about what makes a good farm website or social media presence and how we maintain ours or don't maintain ours. I'm sorry, Danielle, if I'm attacking you here. I don't know. I haven't looked at yours to see if you're up to date or not.
Wow. Well, there goes the podcast, folks.
Well, I really don't know. That wasn't a dig because mine's not great. It's functional, but really, is it? So we're going to set the table right now, Danielle. We're going to clear the air so that we can have a podcast episode for next week. Okay. How often are you updating your website or socials?
Well, John, I actually just updated my website. I mean, it was a very quick update because I had to change my breeding plans, you know, salt in the wound here. But so I am pretty much updated with all of the fun information that I have at this moment and that I am comfortable releasing to the public and putting out there for that. That part of it is pretty up to date. And I took the time this fall to make sure I got the pictures of the last two dry kids that I needed for my website. So I have, for once in a long time, I have pictures of everybody on the property. And they're all there and listed. So, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So what about yourself?
I am one person that, like, as I get good pictures throughout the season of my goats, I'll update as I go. So really, the updating thing happens throughout the year. But this winter, I plan to do kind of a big overhaul of my website because it's just not very friendly to or appealing to look at when you're on your phone. Like, you got to turn your phone sideways for it to kind of make sense. You know, you get half cut off pictures and all this good stuff. So I got to do a bunch of changes. But for the most part, throughout the year, I'll make changes as I get better pictures or more pertinent information about the goats. Say one finishes or one gains a leg or whatever. And that way I also don't forget. You know, I'm not sitting here in November, December going, did she get another leg? Was that restricted? You know, what did she place at this show? And then as far as like social media, Facebook, we keep a pretty regular presence and we'll kind of go through my reasoning on that in a few minutes here. Instagram, we Slack, and then TikTok, that's our, in our feelings, fun stuff. does that lay it out pretty accurately?
I do like your description of your social media usage.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you and I and any other dairy goat person that's listening to this right now, they have herds that they admire, herds that they really like. And not only because of the animals, but maybe the way that they show off their animals, whether it's the mailer that Craig Koopman sends out every year, or it's the Blissberry Beautiful website, or it's, you know, whoever with their website or social media presence. We all look up to somebody. And that's because we find whatever to their herd and website appealing. So when you're looking at a website, Danielle, what are you looking for in that website? Like, what do you want to see And what are some of the stuff that maybe you don't?
The biggest thing I want to see are good pictures and large pictures too. And it doesn't have to be a lot of pictures, but I want to be able to see the animal, particularly if I am only looking and admiring your herd from a distance and I haven't seen them in person. I want to be able to see the goats. And the way to do that is some giant pictures. And I'm not necessarily saying that all your pictures have to take up the whole screen and format it horribly, but just have a way that I can easily see those pictures and pull those animals up and make sure I like what I'm looking at.
Yeah, it has to be appealing to the eye for sure. I'm the same way. And we'll get into some pet peeves, but one thing that I can't stand is like when I'm looking for, you know, looking at, say, a doe page of someone's goats, and there's blah, 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 family size cracker, you know, is the goat's name. And you look at family size cracker. I'm obviously standing in my kitchen looking at a family size baked cheese, white cheddar crackers box.
I was wondering where this was coming from. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not being derogatory towards people.
Oh, Jesus. Think of that. Oh, my God.
So I'm looking at cracker here, and there's 5-6 pictures of the same angle throughout the years, but they're all equally not great pictures or angles of the doe. You know, it's not showing her in her best light. And even though you think to yourself, I think this animal's better than what I'm seeing, it's enough for me to go, I don't think I want anything out of this animal because I am not getting the whole picture. And it is making me concerned that maybe it's because there just isn't a good picture of this doe because she's not good. You know, where it could be total opposite. You know, you got to think people from, you know, throughout from wherever in the country, hours, you know, thousands of miles away, could be looking at your stuff and thinking about ordering something. But because they haven't seen them in person and they're only getting this little snapshot of this animal, you kind of want to make it look the best it can be.
No, exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
One thing that I notice on a lot of websites, you know, that I like to see, you know, things that are appealing to me is a sales policy. You know, I like to see that somebody's been thoughtful enough to create a sales policy for the animals. And there's a sales policy for every single person that's going to be different than the other, right? You know, some people might want the opportunity to buy an animal back if somebody decides to sell an animal that they bought from them. You know, sale policy could be crazy, it could be easy, it could be anything in between. Do you do a sales policy for your animals, Daniel?
So I don't necessarily know if I would say it's a sale policy. I guess I call it a purchase policy, but it's more of just the information that needs to be shared, that when I expect payment, how my reservations are working, how I expect payment, kind of those details that I need to put out there to just kind of have out there. And so that this way my buyers know that, yes, you will have to pay for shipping if the animals are being shipped. And if it's a buck, I reserve the right to purchase 20 straws back from him. If I sell you a buck, I reserve the right to purchase 20 straws back if I want to. And just different things like that. It's nothing too crazy. I find it's, I mean, I think it's probably very basic, but it's just the thing that I've either run into issues in the past with, or just things people need to know so that this way they know what they're getting into when they purchase an animal from me.
Yeah. Yeah. Same deal. I have a sales policy on usually my breeding schedule or breeding list. I have it right on the bottom there, and it highlights the same things that you're saying here. And when people ask me, instead of me having to type it all out for people, I just grab the link from my website, send it to the person. There you go. Easy peasy. And that's really nice to have. So that way you're not wasting your time sending it to 30 people or more.
Right. No, exactly.
One thing that I'm noticing with a lot of websites, and we'll get further into it, but one thing I'm noticing is that there's a lot of people that are starting to not post like pricings of like their breedings for certain breedings. And you know, some of them, you know, they'll say first fresheners are this. Some people are posting, you know, the total price, some aren't posting it at all. Do you have your buyer, do you have those prices so like your buyers know what to expect as far as pricing goes, or do you just wait for the kids to be born and you're like, all right, that'll be $5,000?
Yeah, oh, it's definitely. Here's your kid. You can pay, you know, pay me now the price I'm telling you now. No, I was actually thinking about this because on my website, I do not currently have the prices because it was just not formatting well to include prices. And I don't think I like that. But that being said, if anybody were to contact me, I have a very clear structure of how animals are priced. So my first fresheners are one price, or kids from a first freshener are one price. And then if that first freshener has her leg, her dry leg, they're slightly more. Then I have my non-finished does, which their price depends on kind of their show career, their linear appraisal score, and different things like that. But those are kind of like my medium-tiered animals that, if they're not finished, they're going to be in a certain price range. And then my finished champions then start, kids from a finished champion start at a different price range. And then that just kind of goes up based on the doe and her accomplishments. So it's my pricing is completely based on the dams of those animals and what they have done in the past, not necessarily their potential, if that makes sense.
No, it makes sense for sure. And that's one thing that we're actually going to be revisiting this year for pricing. I do have prices on my website as well, but I do need to make some changes accordingly as far as the economy and as far as what my does have done. And I also, you know, just happen to have a doe that's completely missing off here because we weren't going to breed her and then we did. So I do have to update that, but yeah, I have prices. They're probably going to change a little bit, and when they do, obviously anybody that has any reservations, they're going to be told. And if I have already spoken about pricing with these individuals, I will obviously keep my word and keep the prices the way they were,
Well,
but
yeah.
certain breedings are going to change.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I do think I am going to go in and try and figure out where to put my pricing because I do want to, I mean, I don't want people to think that I want them to have an idea of what the animals are going to cost. At least the reserved kids. I mean, I obviously reserve the right to like a kid that was not reserved and then it's in my barn and then I'm, you know, she looks fabulous and I can say, oh no, it's going to be this price or whatever.
Right.
But
Yeah.
the pre-reserved kid price, I do think I have to go in somewhere and figure out where to put it just to add it in because I do think it is helpful. I mean, I look at it and I like to be able to see when I'm buying a new animal, what that price is going to be, especially if I'm reaching out to somebody I'm haven't worked with in the past or and have no idea kind of where it's going to fall in all of that. So I do think that is something I need to do is just figure out where it can go to just make everybody's life a little easier.
Same way, same way. Kind of on the flip side of that, when do you think's an appropriate time to start putting out your breeding schedule slash kidding schedule? Like, the usual for you guys?
So my breeding plans really do not take final shape until the fall. So for the most part, my breeding schedule is not going to be published until late August, early September, October. But that's also partially because we tend to take a lot of pictures while we're at our fair. And so I always want to do that website update at that time as well. So I want to make sure I have good current pictures of animals I needed pictures from. And that kind of happens end of August. So fast forward a couple weeks and we start breeding animals, and I'll make sure that that list is at least partially accurate. And then I fill in as we go. So if things change, like they did today, again, still not bitter, not at all. But I'll kind of go in and update because I do also use it as a quick visual for myself as well to just keep track of everything too. So, and this year I do have all my due dates current because I just kind of think, at least at this point, because I can and I want to. And it's always that's helpful to the buyers, I think, too, to have that there. So this way they know when a potential kid is going to be born. So, yeah, it's like a September, October thing for me usually.
I'll put out my list for who I plan to breed whom to, usually at the end of nationals, when people are driving home, just because you'll see those posts from people that are there that are on their way home, and they're like, "Oh, it's the most exciting time. We figure out who we're gonna breed who to who." And so kind of with everybody kind of having that excitement, I try to draw off of that excitement and post mine so that way maybe I can snag a reservation or two. You know, people are excited. They like the breedings they see. They'll snag a reservation. Obviously, we're a farm that doesn't ask for money down, but it's nice to be able to have people kind of thinking about it and on that list. And then as far as like the breeding or the kidding schedule, that's something that this week I'll probably not this week. Work's too crazy. I'm lying. Next week I'll probably work on that, maybe as I'm sitting in the woods deer hunting or something, and get that updated. Obviously, I've got two that aren't past 21 days post breeding, so they'll kind of stay where they're at, but the other four will update and get that out to people. And that's generally how we treat that. How about this, Danielle?
Okay.
Pet peeves slash red flags when you're maybe scrolling through social media or websites, is there anything that just drives you nuts that you see and you're like, why are people doing this?
So, my first pet peeve is, and I know I am guilty of this too, but I want to be able to do a deep dive into that pedigree. And so I want it via AdGood Genetics. I want a link that will take me to AdGood Genetics and bonus
Oh, I
points.
feel called out.
Oh, I didn't even know. But and bonus points if it pops up in a new window. So I want to be able to flip back and forth. I want to be able to find animals and then see pictures of those animals without like just in one tab versus another. And I want to be able to dive in to the pedigrees through AdGood Genetics because I do care about the linear appraisal scores and the milk records of the animals I'm looking at. And I just find it easier to play with pedigrees that way. So I want to be able to click and go to AdGood Genetics.
I think that's amazing, and I wish that I would have that on my website, but that is one thing that I haven't taken the time to prioritize. But I agree. I do appreciate that as well when going through. One thing that drives me nuts is like, and it's usually on social media, but I'll see it on websites too, is where people do private treaty, whereas like when they put the price and they're like private treaty, and it's like, well, That either means that it's just too rich for my blood, or the goat's probably too expensive for what it's worth, and that's fine. So I never have been like, ooh, let me message them and ask them. I'm intrigued. I want to get something from those. And then another thing that drives me insane and is a red flag is when, and you'll see it a lot with Nigerians, but the people do like the auction style sale, and you look at the animal and you're like, you're auctioning this? And then people are like bidding on it, and you're like, what is going on? And you're like, but you know, like I think it's more like an envy thing, because I know like if I ever did that with an Oberhasli, I'd get like $5 for it, you know? So
Right.
it's just, I just never have understood that mentality and people actually going for that. And I've heard some crazy prices that people have bought animals. And then of course, just because you pay a lot of money for something doesn't mean they're going to turn out. And a lot of times those animals, you never hear from them again. It's just weird to me and new, and I'll give them credit for trying something new to kind of update selling goats and make it fresh and new, but it's weird to me. Another red flag for me is when people supposedly have a farm, but you can't find any information pertinent to where they're located or anything. Obviously, if I see another Oberhasli breeder, or Guernsey breeder, or whatever, on Facebook, and then I go to look up, I'm like, I don't know if this is a scam or not. So, I mean, people could be mo losing out on opportunities to sell animals just because they don't have the right information of even like where they're located on their page to make people feel comfortable about inquiring about more.
No, I get that. I think there's a fine line there, particularly with like farm security that
Well, I'm not saying like I want the GPS locations to their couch, but I'm saying like it'd be nice to know what state some of these farms are in.
no. And that's what I totally agree with you. I'm just saying that there is you do have to be I'm kind of adding on to that with the caveat that you do need to be cautious because it is public information and you don't necessarily want somebody stumbling on your, an unwanted visitor stumbling on your farm.
Any other red flags? I'm trying to think. Red flag, well, it's not really a red flag, but it's like just a major turnoff for me is when, like I said before, the pictures just aren't great. Like, dude, get a good picture. Like, it doesn't have to be a national show photographer taking your pictures, but get something that's going to show the goat off to at least 50% of what it looks like. I mean, geez, I see some of these pictures, it's like I can see the belly in the where the umbilical was on this kid more than I can see anything else, like, you know, or the angle's just so close and low that they look like aliens because their heads look huge just because of the way it's angled. It's like, take the time and show some pride in the product that you're putting out. I mean, we all spend a lot of money on these goats. Spend just an extra 15 minutes of saying, hey Danielle, that picture didn't turn out good, can we take another one? And it'll just help in the long run.
Well, but I think some of the issue is it's just like people who, and welcome to Danielle's not goat related pet peeves, but who take pictures of their children and they think it's good a good picture of their children because they snapped it on their phone and their kid is in the picture. And you look at it and you go, no, this is not a cute picture of your child. Like, this is just your child in a frame in a camera. I mean, you have to, when you are taking these pictures, when you are taking
I'm
these
sorry, I'm
pictures,
joking because I feel like I'm being attacked right now. Just
no,
say
this
you
is
want less
nothing.
pictures of Alice sent to you, okay?
No,
And it's
this has
done.
nothing to do with your daughter. Your daughter is adorable. But I'm just kind of like, I don't know, that's the easiest way to like, you see these people taking pictures and you go, oh, they have no idea what they're doing and trying to frame this picture and put the picture out there. And I feel like that also can very quickly apply to goats. We can all look at a nice goat picture and say, ooh, she's set up well. This is a good picture. But sometimes people have difficulty capturing that themselves, and I think you have to try, even if your animal isn't not like isn't the national show winner that you're comparing her to, but you know that picture in your back of your mind. You know that that's kind of what you're achieving or what you're striving to achieve. And you have to create something that's going to look like that in some regard, because that is what we've all been trained to see as, ooh, these are good animals. This animal is set up well. This is how an animal is supposed to be set up. And this is what they're supposed to look like. And so when they're not displayed properly, it just messes with our brains.
Yeah.
And you just go, yeah. Oh, what a picture, what a crappy picture.
Yeah, it's like, you know, how the youth have to, you know, when they're on the dating scene and they're going through the old Tinder and you see those terrible selfies that these people are taking. It's like, take some time, make yourself look good, sell yourself, sell that goat.
There you go.
That's a t-shirt. Yeah. I'm making it.
Okay.
what else we got here? Oh, here's another thing. It's kind of a red flag too. Is I hate when there's too much information about a goat. You know, and we're going to ask here, is that necessarily a bad thing? And in my eyes, I believe it can't be. It can be kind of detrimental. Like, I don't need to know every single detail of this goat's life. You know, when she was 63 months old, she got the sniffles and almost died. And it's very tragic. But we pulled her out. And now she's a miraculous goat that has kitted again and had twin bucks that we weathered and got sold to pet home. Maybe they got eaten. We're not sure. And yada, yada, yada. It's like, just get the nuts and bolts of what this goat's about and move on from there. I don't have to scroll a full page to know about a goat's history.
I understand what you're saying, but I do like when goats have individual pages. And I know it's extra work. And I do not care that this doe had twin bucks and then this doe had does. But I do know that I am guilty sometimes of adding that little bit of a story into my does pages, because especially when it's like, huh, for the third year in a row, she had bucks and then we finally got a doe. Who is this doe in our herd? Or there is a connection there. But I did call you out
hardcore. I'm on your website right now.
Yeah, you're going to find your... Yeah, but I do think that it is nice to have pages for the individual animals, because there are so many things that you need to talk about with your individual animal that if you can take the time to expand on the pedigree, if you feel like it, or highlight linear appraisal scores, milk records, but then also tell the story of her accomplishments or his accomplishments, what you like about them. I think it's helpful. And because we all know we like to do our research and we like to peruse and we like to window shop retail therapy without buying anything. And I just think it's better when there's more information there in terms of things that are actually going to be helpful to us in our goals as dairy goat breeders.
Yeah. And okay. And I agree with that. I'm looking at your website right now, and this is very much not the kind of thing I was talking about when, you know, I was not attacking you, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no, no, no.
You know, I'm looking at.
I feel like this whole time you've been like, not you, not, and I'm like, not me. I feel attacked. You feel attacked. There's none of this. It's just, this is what I like. What you like are different things. And what we, obviously, okay, what we do are different things too. And like, I mean, the AdGood Genetics link, I love to have an AdGood Genetics link, and all of my does, when you get to their personal pages, you click on their name and it'll pop up the AdGood Genetics link. It's very easy. I didn't know that
your page is very much a top tier page.
Oh, well, thank you.
And it's kind of annoying to me right now, especially because mine's so mid. Like, I just went in between ours and yeah, good job. But you're right. No,
thank you. I worked hard on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is a thing that can be helpful. And
I just think that, like, I'm not trying to be mean to folks that love their goats, exponentially more than maybe their children, whatever. But it's
Wait,
like,
there's people who like their children more than their goats?
I love my child more than my goats. Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Putting
okay.
that out on the record, Tierney, it's true. But I'm just saying, like, I think that there's a time and place, like, for the Dear Diary stuff, and I don't think it's your website where you're trying to sell your herd, or not necessarily sell your herd, but sell future animals out of your herd, So I think that, like, on Facebook, having the cutesy posts and stuff, that's where it's good. Instagram especially. But when it comes to, like, a website, like, I don't want the fluff. I want the nuts and bolts. And when I'm looking at yours, Daniel, you've got year by year breakdown, but you're not saying, oh, she had the sniffles this year. You're saying, oh, this one was a breed leader in 2017. She did this and this. She finished this year. She's done this at nationals. This is what her milk records are. Here's a link to whatever, like, great stuff, very pertinent information, not the fluff. And that's what I was trying to say. What are some things that maybe you wish you would see more when browsing other sites that you're not seeing?
I would love to see more in terms of making sure you have like reference animals there, because half the time, if I'm looking for an animal, I want to see animals in the back. And I completely realize, and I know as a breeder, that it is not necessarily all these animals should be highlighted and focused on, but I do like to be able to dig and say, okay, this is where this one's feet and legs are coming from, or this is where this one's coming from, or this is this, or this is the dam. I want to be able to look at the pictures behind the and of the animals behind them. So I love a good reference section, and I know a lot of people tend to just kind of make animals disappear when they sell them, but I think for the most part, they're pieces of your puzzle and they tell the story of where your goats were and what they're based on. And it gives insight. And I don't necessarily think, Eve, I mean, I think of my herd and I don't have pictures of them just because I wasn't in the place to take pictures of them, but the genetics behind my herd are not something I would. Even some of those animals, I don't even think I would think about like letting them in my barn today, just because they're not, that was several generations ago. And that's not where it was where I was. It's not where I am. But wouldn't it be good to be able to connect the pieces and say, okay, yes, this is how it is. And so seeing some of those steps at the very least, I think is always something to, it's always a good thing to kind of fall back on.
Yeah, I have a reference page as well, and I enjoy a reference page showing some of the older animals. I do have to update mine, but one thing that I want to see from other pages that I don't see so often anymore, is the, disease testing and status of a herd, and I know that not everybody wants to share that. There might be people that have herds that are compromised and don't want to share that unless asked, and I get that. But for the most part, I don't want to have to feel like I'm being that guy and asking the tough questions because I don't have that information right in front of me. It's very simple to say that, you have a CAE, a CL free herd, or maybe not. And I get that it's hard to sell animals that might be compromised, but I don't want to be the one that's just digging and asking these hard questions all the time. And it's everywhere. And it even makes me think, I've got a buck reservation that I'm gonna have to look at the site and see if they're even have posted that they are or aren't clean, and I'm gonna have to ask that tough question to them too. And I hate doing it. Like, I just wish people would be more open about it. It's not the end of the world if somebody doesn't have a clean herd, but, like, just be open. You're gonna have to say something eventually.
Yeah. No, and that's what, so my, yeah, I was just trying to think of what, like, my policy is probably different from a lot of different people because I test for CAE, but I don't test for CL, and I don't test regularly for yonis because I've been working with this herd of goats for over 20 years now, and I know my policies for it, which I'm very forthcoming about. If somebody asks, do you test? I see you test for CAE, but I don't see you test for CL and yonis. My policy is just you need to take that extra step to explain why I'm doing what I'm doing. And my policy is this: I'm happy to test at the buyer's expense for CL and yonis. I don't have abscesses in my herd, but on the chance that, like, even with those hay pokes that they get in the mouth, if that abscess looks suspicious, because typically I'm having my vet come out to remove it, like those hay pop or hay pocket abscesses are probably like the last thing I like we've ever really dealt with as far as abscesses go. But when that happens, I have my vet come and remove it. And I go, what do you think of this? Because CL has a different color. There's also areas where CL would pop up in a goat that, so there's th like there's this general knowledge base about it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't test, but I'm just saying like this is why I don't necessarily need to test. So there's general spots. We haven't dealt with that. There's the pus is a different color as well than just kind of like a, oh, I poked myself with hay, it got infected. Here's this like spot, the spot on my like mouth area. So it's a different color. But then sometimes my vet goes, and I say, okay, let's send that gross stuff in for testing. And okay, cool. It comes back negative. That's great. But again, it's kind of like that, like just in case, double check. But I don't necessarily, because the symptoms of CL are those visible abscesses in those specific places, I don't necessarily test for CL. And then yonis, oh, don't even get me started on yonis. You are not necessarily going to get accurate test results from
Oh, I know.
your yonis test. And the only real close to accurate test results you're going to get are fecal samples, but those fecal samples are crazy expensive, take weeks to kind of get results from, and that is as close to accurate. For the most part, those tests that you can do, the blood test, can very easily give you false positives for yonis, and it does cause issues. And it's just, I don't know. I just don't necessarily think it's something that I need to spend money on right now for. And I also, like, years ago back when I was in school, and so obviously I'm not going to date myself and tell you know how long ago, but this was a, not too long ago, but the general idea was the veterinary community was only really testing for yonis in sheep, and probably this, I kind of figure this applies to goats, if they were looking for a diagnosis of the symptoms that they were seeing. So they were seeing the clinical signs of yonis in sheep, then they would pull the tests for the yonis to confirm what they were suspecting. And so I don't really test for yonis. That's not to say, the
Yeah,
only
same.
caveat is, long story short, maybe the only issue I would think to, the only reason I would really be testing for yonis is if I was feeding cow's milk. Unpasteurized cow's milk from cows on my farm, I would probably test those cows for yonis to make sure they weren't carriers of it because it does affect small ruminants and large ruminants slightly differently.
Now, I have on my website, we test biannually for CAE, and we don't test for anything else unless somebody like really wants to pay for an extra test. That's probably not going to be super accurate, but whatever. And
But I want to see on those other pages, you know, other farms, if I'm purchasing for somebody, you know, I want to see that stuff. You know, if I'm selling an animal to somebody and they ask me to pull blood because it's an off year, I pull blood. You know, I did it this year. You know, in a couple weeks here, we'll be pulling blood on everybody just for my biannual, you know, blood pull and get everything sent in and be good and be able to show people those results. But I don't like, you know, and I've seen it on Facebook in groups and you know, just talking to random people, you know, and some people, some breeders don't feel like they need to share those results to people. They feel like it's checking their work, and I could not disagree more, and that's okay to disagree. But I think that as a breeder, if somebody wants to purchase from you and they want to see results, even if you don't test, say, hey, yeah, I'll pull blood and test it for you, send it out to a lab. You're going to pay for it. You know, at least give them that option. But to just be like, yeah, no, we're clean herd, but you don't need to see my shit. Like, no, that's not, that doesn't fly for me. Like that makes, that feels bad.
Yeah, understandable.
Here's a good one. How often are you posting on your social media, and why do you think having social media like Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever, having a presence on those outlets is can be important?
So I'm going to answer that question first, why I
Okay.
think it's important to have a presence on Facebook and Instagram. First of all, the dairy goat community is weirdly against the grain, and we are a Facebook community, probably just because it's easier to convey the information in a Facebook post versus an Instagram post. But we kind of buck trend there in terms of what we use more popularly. But I think your website, because you publish it not as frequently as, or for the most part, not as frequently as your social media posts, your website is kind of that steady presence. You're not changing. You can go and look at the book, and it's probably like the best way to describe it is your website is your encyclopedia. But that encyclopedia also, there's other things happening, and your Facebook is, or your Instagram is your newspaper. So the current events that are happening in that herd are on your Facebook and your social media. So you need both pieces of information. And when you're doing your research project and you're buying your goat, you're gonna, and I'm saying encyclopedia, I realize this is horrible, but there's a lot of people who probably don't even have never even used an encyclopedia because it's just not a thing anymore and we have the internet. But pretend, guys, that, and if you don't know what an encyclopedia is, there used to be this like these books that you would get that just had topics all over. Anyway,
Oh my God.
Danielle's having a meltdown here. But with that, you have both parts. You need the current events that you would get from your newspaper. Again, something that could you could consider dated as well, but you know, side tangent. And then you have your static information, and you need both to make your informed decision. Plus, your social media, you can just interact a little bit more. You can keep it a little bit more current with exciting events or just even different pictures, because sometimes you can share those cute pictures on your social media or create the personality of your farm, because that does tell a lot too. And sometimes you don't necessarily get that through your website.
So how often do you think like you're updating that? Like once a week?
My Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try. I think you want to post more than once a week, but if you can only post once a week, that is fine too. But you do want to be consistent in what, how often you're posting and the type of media you are posting as well, because that'll help with the algorithms and getting it out there to people. And so you do want to develop a steady consistent presence. And you definitely don't have to post once a day. You probably should post at least once a week, if not more.
Yeah, I agree. I will post more when there's certain things like October going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'll post more during kidding season, show season. I'll try to get more than one post out a week. When it's the quiet season, and especially Instagram, I've just been slacking on. But the slow season, you know, at least once a week, twice a week is what I shoot for. Even if it's a silly picture of the Bucks being silly, making faces, picture of, you know, my child with the goats, and just having fun and not necessarily all business is what works for us. But Instagram, I've been slacking just because I don't get a ton of traffic on Instagram. It's in this industry, like you were saying, it's just kind of like it's just like a meh type thing, you know. You know, we've got thousands of, or you know, 1,500 or whatever people that like our farm page on Facebook, but then, you know, Instagram, it's been around just as long and has some pretty fun posts. You know, you got like 948. So it's just something that I've never been able to like really conquer and been like, yeah, this is, you know, Instagram. So maybe it's because I'm an old man, I don't know. But yeah, it's just something that hasn't been super high on my list. So we try to stay pertinent with the old Facebook. We'll play on TikTok every once in a while when we're feeling emo, and yeah, we go from there. Let's see, we could probably wrap it up. Well, I guess we covered that. Is there anything else that folks might want to think about doing as far as conquering social media, their website, making it more user-friendly, anything like that? I mean, you're the one that has built websites for people as your business in the past and still do as a freelance type deal. Anything that people might want to think of that maybe they just never think of?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is make sure your links are correct and current is a big thing that you should definitely do, and make sure you're doing. Make sure it's easy to read and it's not too busy is another thing that you definitely want to focus on. And you have to find the balance between too many pictures, too few pictures, too much text, not enough text. But you don't want it to be overwhelming. You want people to enjoy their time perusing your website. And so you want to make sure that your information is clear, but it's also clean and it's easy to play with. And it's also consistent that your style on one page carries through to the style on the next page, because that is how the people are thinking they're going to interact with your website, and they don't want to have to work too hard.
I think through this recording, I'm like perusing Kings Rock Farm over here, their website, might have to just like hire Danielle to overhaul my site here. It's a little sad, the difference in quality over here in animals and in websites. So thank you for that. I'm just going to cry and maybe make another sad TikTok.
I'm so sorry for you.
I mean, I'm going to say it here. Definitely, I think people are not using social media as the weapon that they could use it for. I see websites and they are getting the point across as far as they're heard. Obviously, people can take better pictures and put better information and pertinent information. But honestly, when it comes to like to social media, like I feel like a lot of people miss out on the opportunity to create posts, to get traction, have people learn who they are from across the country. And I mean, look at the Ringside page. We post more than once a week, usually make a cool TikTok for that. And we're getting thousands and thousands and thousands of eyes on us and people downloading our episodes because of it, because they found us through social media. Then the same thing can be done with your farm page, folks. So I think that's something that people can take away from this as well.
Mm-hmm. And it does take time. And
It
It's
does.
definitely not necessarily everybody's wheelhouse, and that's okay. And you just have to figure out what works for you. Is it that you just have a Facebook page or just have a website? Or is it that you have nothing, but you just have to figure out what is going to work for you and where you're heard and what your talents ha are that can allow your her to shine on the web. And maybe sometimes you do have to call in a friend, or maybe this is an expense you do have to pay for to make sure you have something out there. But ultimately, even though most of us call this a hobby and an expensive hobby that we just lose money at, but there is that level, because we are selling kids and trying to market our herds, there is that level of business and professionalism that you have to present and you want to present, and it's only going to help you and have people value your herds better. And so figuring out maybe this is an area where you do need to invest a little bit in, whether it's your time or money or both, because it'll help pay off in the long run.
Cool. Well, Danielle, this has been an awesome topic. I'm glad that we were able to talk about that, and I hope that people find some good information through it, or just creates conversation on this week's post. And please do tell me how much you loved my terrible takes, or how much you loved Danielle's amazing takes. So there we go. If people wanted to find us on the old interweb, Danielle, where could they do that?
You can find us at dairygoatpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook by searching Ringside, an American Dairy Goat Podcast. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok by searching Ringside Podcast. And you can listen to us every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, everybody, this has been Ringside, an American Dairy Goat podcast. I'm John.
And I'm Danielle.
I hope everybody has a wonderful week. Survive it, strive it, do the best you can. We'll catch you on the next one.